work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping. Stamps.com will simplify your postage needs and add valuable time back into your workday, so you have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off UPS and USPS. Send invoices, checks, certified mail, packages, and anything else you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. If you sell online, connecting with every major marketplace and shopping cart is easy. Plus, you can schedule package pickups through their dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with Stamps.com's Rate Advisor. Add more flexibility to your workday with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Wait. Before we start, just want to make sure we're clear here. While this podcast talks about sobriety, mental health, and addiction, it is not meant to replace professional medical advice.
Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety.
I'm Kathleen.
And I'm Sonia.
And we're ex-sisters-in-law, brought together in marriage and bonded through our sobriety journey.
Join us as we talk sobriety, addiction, and everything in between. You're in for quite a ride. And our Substack is buzzing with amazing content, from creative mocktail recipes to insightful courses and reflective exercises. There is something for everyone. Don't miss out. It's a great way to add some extra joy and depth to your journey. Check it out. Welcome to Sisters in Sobriety. Today, we're talking about a topic that's on a lot of minds as we head into this new year, and that's Dry January. And Dry January started off as a challenge, but it's also a really good opportunity for self-discovery and as a reset button to your relationship with alcohol. So Dry January means committing to a month of not drinking.
For some, it's a chance to evaluate how alcohol fits into their lives without judgment or pressure. And for others, it's a stepping stone towards a more intentional lifestyle. And for everyone who takes it on, it's a chance to prove to yourself that you're capable of making and sticking to a commitment.
So today we're going to explore some practical tips, some motivational strategies, and some reflections to help you have a successful Dry January. Whether you are a seasoned participant or trying it for the first time, let's get started and make this January one to remember for all the right reasons.
Great. Well, Sonia, why do you think Dry January has become so popular?
I think it started off as people indulge during the holidays, right? And I know that was true for me. And my New Year's hangovers would last for days. So people really like that chance to reset, and then they end up stepping back and evaluating their drinking habits. I also think that in the last few years, we've had so much research come out about the negative effects of alcohol. And last week, I read a New York Times article that alcohol is a leading cause of cancer. And so the Surgeon General wants to put a cancer warning label on alcohol like we have on cigarettes. And
I read that. Yeah.
That's huge. And when people read, especially in the New York Times, when people read things like that, it really gets into your subconscious. Also, there are so many people that are more health conscious and rethinking their alcohol consumption the same way they reconsider their diet and exercise routines. Like you're counting macros, right? And so it's where does alcohol fit into that?
Well, it doesn't.
Right. And so people start to realize that. You think about anyone who, like I watched that documentary about the millionaire who's biohacking himself. Mm-hmm. And like, there's no way alcohol would fit in to that, right? He's trying to increase his lifespan. He wants to live past 100. There's no way your alcohol fits into that. So
No, because I live in Canada. I think it was last year or 2 years ago where they came out, the Health Canada came out with no amount of alcohol.
Yeah.
Like none. That's what they said. You know, before it was like two drinks a week or something, and now it's zero amount is good for you.
Yeah. And things like that sparked this kind of sober curious movement. And so I feel like Dry January was a stepping stone to sober curious. And yeah, I think now there's like less of a stigma because you have celebrities and wellness influencers that made alcohol-free living seem aspirational and not as restrictive. Mm-hmm. Also, there's so many non-alcoholic beverages. Yeah. It's crazy. And there's sophisticated beverages. There's alcohol-free spirits, wines, beers. I'm actually thinking about getting into the non-alcoholic spirits a little bit more as I make mocktails.
Okay.
Yeah, I used some bitters this weekend. I made a pomegranate mocktail with some orange bitters. Right. Yeah, people really like the challenge aspect, right? So I'm going to do this for 31 days and it's achievable and it's a clear endpoint. And I think now you're really part of a bigger movement. So even when I talk to people, ooh, are you doing dry January? They're like, oh, yeah, sure, I'll do it. I said to my boyfriend, are you going to do dry January? And he was like, yeah, why not? It doesn't. Yeah, it feels like you're kind of doing something. So yeah, that's like that is what's made it popular. I think there's so many different mm-hmm. things, but I think overriding, I think we're all becoming a little more health conscious. So mm-hmm. what are the benefits, do you think, of participating in a dry January?
Well, there are the obvious physical health benefits. You know, there's improved liver function even in that month, better sleep, boosted energy levels. Like, gosh, the energy levels will just... That is something so tangible that you really notice. There's everything from like clearer skin, lower blood pressure, like so many. I could go on and on about the physical health benefits, but then obviously there's the mental and emotional health benefits. So improved mental clarity, reduced anxiety. We've talked about this in our podcast before. You know, the anxiety from just consuming alcohol, like what it does to your brain, you can feel that for days and days after having a drink. So reduced anxiety and honestly, enhanced emotional resilience, because without alcohol as a coping mechanism, you're either going to discover, oh, this is, I've been using this as a coping mechanism. I don't have other ways to handle stress, or maybe I do, or maybe I need to get some new ones. So that's definitely a benefit. And then the social and lifestyle benefits. Sometimes people will say in dry January, well, or at the end of dry January, I didn't go out, because they feel like they can't go out, right? So there can be some financial benefits in that way, but it can also mean increased productivity in different ways. There's also, you know, enhanced self-discipline, for example, like I often will say, can you keep one promise to yourself a day? So if that is dry January and every day, it feels amazing to have accomplished that at the end. I know we talked about this many, many episodes. You took up a lot of new hobbies, right? When you got sober, you discover new interests, even in that month of January when you're not drinking. So there's a lot of benefits. There's also really one of the main benefits is seeing what role alcohol plays in your life. So taking a break can really help you evaluate that. So those are just some of the health benefits. Yeah,
there are so many. I think it's interesting for me, we usually talk about what was our experience with January. Mm-hmm. I never did anything like that. And so I don't have a lot of experience with it. I don't know. I wish I could have stopped drinking for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks to feel the difference.
Yeah.
I never got to that point.
Well, and I'd say, okay, so my boyfriend he drinks. I would say previous to us being in a relationship, he was a drinker, but he is not really a drinker. And he is not only doing dry January, but he's doing dry February as well, because he actually really wants to, he felt so amazing doing dry January last year that he wants to see what one more month would do into his, like how he feels. And not to put pressure on him, but he did say to me, he is not sure he is going to go back to alcohol, which I was kind of shocked about.
Yeah, I think so. My boyfriend, I told him that your boyfriend.
Your boyfriend.
Yeah. I told my boyfriend that your boyfriend was doing dry January and February. And he was like, okay, I'll do that too. And so, but I will say we haven't been dating that long, but I've noticed that he doesn't really drink. And I definitely don't think he's had, since we've been dating, more than one drink. But even when he has one drink, he'll be like, oh, I feel like garbage the next morning.
Yeah.
But I think some people are kind of waiting for that. Actually, I'll do dry February too, right? They're kind of like, actually, yeah, I'm fine with that. And so that was interesting to me.
I thought it was too, because I actually thought about my boyfriend and we're doing some event. We're going to a sporting event this weekend. And like my boyfriend is really into sports. And I was like, wow, he's not going to have a beer.
Hockey game. Not.
Yeah, we're going to a hockey game and he is...
The players are drunk at hockey games.
I know. And he's not even... We have amazing seats, all this stuff. And he's not... I was like, wow, he's not... So I am very curious to see how this goes for him. And obviously I'm cheering him on. I am not doing dry January because I'm obviously dry forever right now. But I am not eating sugar for the month of January and February. So for me, that's my... Because I have an addiction to sugar. Seriously. Seriously, I do. So that's my dry January.
I mean, we can talk about this later, but I have some questions about what happens when you go back to sugar, alcohol. But by the way, I started drinking protein shakes every day.
Oh my God. Look, before I have my protein shake here.
Yeah. I'm drinking one after I work out, but before lunch.
And good for you.
I'll let you know how it goes, but
good. That's awesome. So we've talked about dry January in various forms. How can someone mentally prepare for starting dry January? And what are some of the ways to set those realistic goals for the month?
And I talk about these things a lot, but I don't think it hurts to reiterate is clarify your why. So take time to reflect on why you're doing dry January. Is it for better health, more energy, to reset your relationship with alcohol? And having that strong reason really helps in tough moments. And I still have to remind myself of my why. There are still those moments, they catch you off guard. For me, it's typically when I'm like walking by a restaurant or in a restaurant and I have to say, wait, why am I not having a glass of wine? And I have to remind myself. So I think it's important to write down your why in your notes app or whatever it is. And you have to plan for those triggers. So you'll know pretty quickly which situations cause you to feel like you want to drink. And so it's a really good idea to figure those out and figure out how you're going to respond. And if it's having a mocktail ready or stepping outside for a breather, let's say if you're at a happy hour, just have some plan for these triggers. I also think, and this isn't an option for everyone, but removing alcohol from your house for the month or put it out of sight, like in a basement, in a box, might make it easier to stick to your goal and stock up on those non-alcoholic options that you've been excited to try. And you can always go back and listen to some of our mocktail hours. We had some really good ones last time, especially that St. Augustus Phony Negroni. We love that one.
So good.
Yeah. And then I think if this is an option to tell people, I didn't tell people when I was quitting drinking. So when I did go out, it was really surprising to people that I wasn't ordering a drink. And so you might want to tell the people you're going out with that you're doing dry January. So yeah. Can you walk us through how to set realistic goals? You know that we've talked about SMART goals before, but I love hearing about the SMART goals. So I would love it if you could.
Okay. So SMART goals stand for specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. So the reason that they're good is because they're clear, you're realistic, they align with your priorities. So I definitely recommend SMART goals. Like when I work with clients in my practice, not about sobriety, but like on other things that they're setting goals for, I use SMART goals loosely. Like I definitely push the specific and measurable and time bound, but I think the achievable is really important too and relevant. So specific is like your goal should be really clear and concise. You want to answer the question, what do I want to accomplish? Why is this important? Like your why? And where will I be if this happens? If that's
How would that work for dry January?
Well, specific is where will I be when this happens? I bring this as future thinking, but like I will be I will be proud of my achievement in 31 days. Should like, you're almost like thinking of your future self as accomplishing the goal. I always add that in.
Oh.
Yeah, that might be a little bit different than some other people do. But I like to envision like how I will feel and where I will be when I accomplish that goal. So then measurable, you want to sort of define how you're going to track the progress. It can be simple as like, I am not going to drink for 31 days. And achievable, so it has to be realistic. So some people, dry January might not be achievable for them, but they could say, okay, well, 1 week in January or 2 weeks, like what is realistic given who you are and what is going on with you? Relevant, obviously, you want to make sure that the goal aligns with your broader objectives and values. And so it's aligned with your priorities. So let's say health is one of your priorities, or you want to connect with other people who are doing dry January, then it would be relevant. Is it the right time to pursue this goal? You know, does this goal support what I want to be doing in my life? And then the time-bound piece is setting a clear deadline or time frame for your goal, which obviously for dry January is very specific. It's already taken care of for you. So those are the SMART goals.
Yeah, I know there are people listening that are probably how I was, which is 31 days is absolutely not an option. Mm-hmm. Like when I was drinking, 31 days, don't even mention it. I would have immediately crossed it off as an option. And so I think something when I think back that might have been doable was Mondays.
Sure.
And I think that's like a specific achievable goal. And so, you know, it could be like Mondays and then the next week, Monday, Tuesday, and then the next week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Because the idea of me going a day without alcohol was staggering. But the idea of going through Friday, Saturday, Sunday was just not even possible. And so just for those people out there that are maybe drinking with the same pattern I had. So if you have had trouble going, I hadn't gone a day in like a decade without drinking. So I would start with a day. I would start with Monday. Mm-hmm. So I just told you that I would be overwhelmed by the 31 days. What should someone do if they feel overwhelmed by dry January?
So I totally agree with you. I think start with small steps for sure. Commit to one day and then another rather than focusing on the entire month for sure. I think we talked about planning and preparing, and absolutely that is also one of them. You really want to plan for that. And I really do think finding a support system. So I think even like buddying, partnering up with a friend. I saw a friend of mine on Facebook yesterday. She posted, anyone else doing dry January and want to join me? And I was like, that's great. That's awesome. She's looking for support in that way. I think managing your social situations. So if someone asks why you're not drinking, you can have an easy response. I'm doing dry January, whatever it is. And then really focusing on what you'll gain. So instead of focusing on what you're giving up, oh, I'm giving up like these cocktails or this drink or this feeling, think about what you're gaining, like better sleep, energy, self-awareness. And I use tools for tracking. So I have an app called I Am Sober. I use it for sugar, actually.
Ah.
Yeah. And I also have like a habit tracker that I use that I just got online. And I also have one in my practice. So I use it just to track how many days. I really love checking off, like making a check mark when I've accomplished something. It gives my ADHD brain a nice little dopamine hit. So I use those kind of tools. And then I would say for overwhelm also, like practice stress management. There's deep breathing is needed. Get some air on your face outside if you become overwhelmed. And, you know, it is a journey for sure.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel because right now new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so I know we just like briefly talked about triggers.
Yeah.
How can you manage the triggers that make you want to drink?
Well, I think you mentioned already, you have to identify your triggers. We can't possibly identify all of them. And some of them we don't even know are going to be triggers until they're triggers. But really identifying those external triggers, are there places, environments, situations that will trigger you? Any internal triggers? I had this crazy realization this week actually about my no sugar, because I really do have a sugar addiction. I have triggers, and I had something really good happen in my practice, and I wanted to celebrate, and I had such an overwhelming craving for sugar when I, like, yeah. So I wasn't stressed. I thought all my triggers were negative. So I thought all my triggers were like stress, loneliness, tiredness, like those. Yes, I've identified them. But this week I realized for the first time when I was like, oh my gosh, I just achieved this. I immediately wanted to go and eat chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And whoa, I didn't even know that. So identify your triggers. We talked about planning ahead. So, you know, if certain environments or people make you want to drink, consider like skipping those events or planning something different. Have an exit strategy, for example, if you're in a tempting situation. I am a firm believer in not full distraction, but healthy distraction. I am. So, you know, hobbies, exercise, whatever other creative outlets you could have to keep your mind busy. The support system that we talked about, and then replace drinking with positive habits. So mm-hmm. If you are used to having a drink after work, replace it with going for a walk or making a tea. You and I are queens of replacing with positive habits. I know you are. Like you reign on that one. You're so good at that.
I made a snack and tea bar in my closet in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm. I love your tea bar.
Oh no, I love it. It's a new one.
You amped it up.
Yeah. But it makes me very happy. I wanted to be able to make hot chocolate in it at night. So.
Oh my gosh. My daughter is going to she loves your little room, like your nook over there. And she is just going to be like, I cannot wait to make a hot chocolate in your. So I'm really into London Fogs right now. That's what's in here.
I know.
So you were like testing London Fog recipes. I know this is going to sound so boring to people who are like, are you guys fucking serious? We're like trying to do Dry January and you're talking about a London Fog. I am just telling you from a place of sobriety for many years that you find small pleasures in life that you didn't before.
Yeah.
London Fogs.
And so the London Fog thing, okay, it requires the Earl Grey tea. It requires a vanilla syrup. And so there were things when I was drinking, it was like, well, I'm not going to go buy a vanilla syrup. I could just buy like a bottle of wine for that. And so I think that it's really nice. I now will spend on my non-alcoholic beverages, not the equivalent of what I spent on alcohol, but I won't feel guilty about it. And so I just got a peppermint syrup to make peppermint hot chocolates. And so, yeah, you know what? Cheaper than a bottle of wine.
For sure, it's cheaper than a bottle of wine. Yeah. And also, I was just going to say, like, visual reminders are really good. So write your goals down, like for avoiding or doing Dry January, and place them somewhere where you're going to see them, and then switch it around. Like, I have my goals on a vision board. Yes. On a digital vision board as my screensaver. And yeah. And so I see it every morning when I log on to my computer, but I also have it in different places. Just the key is to move it around so you don't get like used to knowing it's there and then you don't see it anymore. So yeah, those are some recommendations. So what are some alternative drinks that can replace alcohol?
Yeah. So, you know, I've done a deep dive into alternative drinks. So let's talk about replacements in three broad categories, which are like the spirits, the wines, and the beers. You just have to figure out if it makes you want to drink the real thing. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't, and it satisfies whatever that taste is that you're looking for, then these are amazing. right? And so I think with the spirits, yeah, they're good to get a sophisticated mocktail. The wines give you the antioxidant experience. If that's why you were drinking is for the antioxidants, then you can have an alcohol-free wine. Mm-hmm. And the non-alcoholic beers are, I feel like those are amazing. They're so realistic. And a lot of them even have electrolytes. So they actually support your hydration, which is the opposite of a regular beer.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
And then the other kind of health-friendly beverages like King Euphorix, Dessois, and they have adaptogens and nootropics like ashwagandha and reishi.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reishi, L-theanine. And so they are supposed to help you relax and improve focus and boost your mood. But I would say, don't think these are FDA indicated for that purpose. So, you know, I think it's kind of a nice side benefit if you drink an adaptogenic mocktail and you feel relaxed. And then there are tea-based mocktails, which I really love. So hibiscus, ginger, turmeric infusions. And again, super antioxidant heavy, and they can aid digestion. Kombucha, everybody knows about. And then there's the infused sparkling waters that you can just get at, you know, any grocery store. And then there's also fresh cold-pressed juices. So that can also be something that you want to replace your alcohol with. So this way, you're not just cutting something out, you're actually adding, right? You're adding mm-hmm. wellness to your routine. So yeah, how else do you think you can create a routine that supports your Dry January goals? And how important is it to find new ways to relax and unwind?
I think it's really important to have a shift your routine a little bit. I'm a big proponent of starting with a good morning routine. Like, I really believe you need to start your day with intention to set a positive tone for the rest of the day. So this can mean like writing down your goals or your intention for the day in a journal. It can mean doing something small the same every day. Like, it could be as simple as waking up in the morning and having a big glass of water and being like, okay, today my intention is this. It doesn't have to be long and involved. I have a long and involved morning routine, but it doesn't have to be that. Just try to do the same thing in the morning every day. And again, baby steps. Just needs to be baby steps and set that intention to start your day in a positive tone. I really think that having scheduled activities that are meaningful to you, keep you busy, but also help you relax, really good. So, and then prioritize physical activity for sure. This is a big thing. I can't speak enough about this. Exercise just reduces your stress. It boosts your mood and enhances sleep all at the same time. And it's really, really important. I think evening routines, how do you shut down from the day? So maybe enjoying like a nice herbal tea or reading or doing something to relax your mind, really good. So yeah, it is important to find new ways to relax or unwind, because if alcohol has been your way to relax at the end of a workday, let's say, you're going to have to find new ways. So what does that mean? It could be physical relaxation, again, like yoga, stretching. It could be going for a nice brisk walk outside. It can be having creative outlets like painting, knitting, like doing different creative things. Or it can be as simple as, and I know you're so good at this, Sonia, is like engaging the senses. So lighting a scented candle, playing calming music. But when you're doing it, really noticing, okay, what is the smell? What does it look like? Being in the present moment. And then, of course, there's things like, you know, watch a feel-good movie or listen to our podcast mm-hmm. or read a book. Like, it's just, there are many, many different things that you can do to unwind without alcohol. So what do you think are some good ways to reward yourself for sticking to your goals? And what are some creative ways to celebrate without alcohol?
Some creative ways are hosting a mocktail night. So, you know, making alcohol-free drinks with friends, a spa night. You can do that either by yourself or with people. I do that all the time just with my dog, Eleanor, where we do candles and I do a face mask, foot mask, do my nails, game night, which I'm getting into with my neighbors, and do that with non-alcoholic drinks and snacks. Yeah, or create vision boards like you were talking about. And then you could also, which, look, I know I'm not I'm not a fitness freak, but you could do a fitness celebration. You could try a new dance class or rock climbing or sunrise yoga. So you could celebrate with movement. So what did you end up doing to celebrate other than eating chocolate?
Well, I didn't eat chocolate. I really, really wanted to. I had to actually get through the craving. It was so strong. So I did that first. And then I actually wrote a letter to myself because I'm really proud of how far I've come. And so I just wrote, it was like very short. It wasn't super long, but just giving, I'm really focused on the reparenting of myself and basically telling myself how proud I was of the achievement. I texted you to tell you, and I told a few people that are close to me, and yeah, that's what I did to celebrate. But I actually have to address first the major craving.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you dealt with the craving and how people can deal with that craving.
Well, I am a big proponent of urge surfing. So okay. And we've talked about this, I think, on a previous episode, but I practice mindfulness and I am more and more trying to practice mindful eating. I really just felt the urge. So I was like, okay, this is surprising. I was like, oh, this is surprising. I didn't realize I was going to get this urge. So I knew what the trigger was. So I recognized, okay, this is a moment of suffering for me. This is a moment of where I'm craving. I identified where it was in my body. I breathed into it. I knew, I like to say to myself, this too shall pass. I reminded myself of the why. I took some deep, deep breaths. I like really thought about the sensations coming through my body. And then I was like, okay, I'm going to take action in a different way. So I got up, got some air on my face, and within 5 minutes, the craving was gone. And then I was like, okay, I need to do something else then to celebrate. Yeah. So I texted you guys, and I then also just wrote this short letter to myself, and then my day had to continue. Mm-hmm. I had clients, and so that was that. But I managed to work my way through it. It was hard, though. I'm not going to lie. It was a hard one.
What is the RAIN acronym?
The RAIN acronym? I use Tara Brock's version. So the RAIN acronym has been really made popular by Tara Brock. She's a mindfulness teacher, but she didn't come up with it, but she has really popularized it. So in the acronym, RAIN is recognize, so acknowledging what's happening in the present moment. So for me, I was like, okay, I'm being triggered. I am needing to use sugar as my substance right now. Also identifying the emotions, thoughts, or sensations that you're experiencing. So I was like, I'm noticing anxiety. I am noticing tingling in my stomach. Or I'm feeling the craving to drink. My heart is racing. The A stands for allow. So create space for your experience without trying to resist it. So you're going to allow the feelings and thoughts and sensations to be there. It's okay to feel this way. These feelings are temporary. So I told myself they're going to pass. This is going to be 5 minutes. And then the I is investigate. So explore the root of your experience with curiosity and care. So you ask yourself, like, what am I believing right now? Or what does this feeling need from me? So my belief was, okay, my belief is that I need to celebrate through eating something sugary. Okay. Is it because I'm lonely? So I just investigated that. And then nurture is the N. So offer yourself kindness, care, and compassion. You can practice affirmations, or you can talk to yourself in a self-soothing way. For me, I was like, okay, nurture means I need some air. Like, I'm very into nature for my nurture. So yeah. I just stepped outside, took a little walk, got the cold air on my face. And then that reparenting for me came in. So I wrote myself a short letter that was nurturing for me. So then ask yourself after the RAIN exercise, what's different now? How do I feel after holding space for myself? The funny thing about cravings is we think that they're going to last forever once we get them, but they really don't. Like, they don't, unless you resist them. If you push, resist, I know that I am resisting a craving. I'm trying to push it down or fight against it when it lasts longer than 5 minutes. That's my tell. And then I'm like, oh, wait, I actually need to allow space for the sensations, and then it passes.
Huh. That's really interesting. I think I do it without knowing it, but I think it was something that took time.
It does take practice. Yeah.
So what mindset shifts can help someone succeed in dry January?
Well, I think first of all, the mindset shift that you can actually accomplish it. So
yeah.
I think when you go into dry January being like, this fucking sucks, or
yeah,
like, you know, I'm not going to be able to do this. I've never been able to do it. Like, I think first of all, check yourself on that. And then instead of thinking like I'm giving something up, focus on what you're gaining. I think that's a big thing. Like, and also part of that is the why. Like, I'm choosing to prioritize my well-being, right?
Yeah.
We've talked about instead of I have to go work out, I get to work out. It's yeah. the same. Like, instead of I have to give up drinking, I get to experience health. I get to have all these amazing things. I think focusing on the present moment. So again, that take it one day at a time. Even if you've committed to dry January, you can still take it one day at a time. Is pretty important for the mindset as well. And then really reframing those challenges as opportunities. Like, each challenge is you can grow so much more from challenges. Like, when things are hard, that's when you grow. So yeah, right. Each challenge becomes that opportunity. And I think really embracing curiosity over judgment. So for example, when I had that sugar craving, I could have been like, oh my God, I can't believe this. Can't believe I'm having another craving now, like for something good. But instead I was like, oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that that was going to happen. And so I learned something about myself. So really embracing that curiosity. Progress over perfection.
Yeah.
This is a hard one. Every day that you're alcohol free is a win, right? Every day.
Yeah.
So progress, not perfection. Okay. So what should someone do if they slip up during dry January? And I honestly thought I was going to be one of those people on like day six. So
yeah, I mean, this fits in really well with what you're saying. This is where you grow, right?
Yeah.
From a challenge. And if you slip, it doesn't define the whole journey. Let's say you slip on the fifth, you still had four mm-hmm. days, and that should give you the information you need to keep going. And I think you approach it with kindness. I think you don't criticize yourself. Slips happen, right? And so if you beat yourself up, that's just a cycle, right? Of shame and more mm-hmm. drinking. And it takes you longer to get back to the non-drinking. And I think you just have to reframe your perspective. It's not a failure. It's data. And I know, I love a good slip up because you use it as a learning moment mm-hmm. rather than a reason to quit altogether. And so I think that ultimately, yeah, reflect, don't dwell, figure out what led to the slip. Was it a stressful situation, a social situation? And help yourself figure out how not to do it again and create a plan if it was a trigger. Progress, not perfection, works so well with the slip. So this is about progress. It's about the number of overall sober days. It's about figuring out your triggers. That's progress. And it's not always about, yeah.
Oh, I have a question for you. So let's say someone gets to day 14 of dry January
yeah.
and then they have a drink. Is that it for them? Is it like, oh, they failed at dry January? What would you say? Does it still count as dry January if yeah. they went back to it the next day, or do they need to start again?
No, it is what you make it, right? And so if you get back on the horse, you figure out what made you slip. It is what it is. You're meeting the challenge, right? And so the challenge specifically, stay sober for 31 days, but really it's about so much more than that, right? Mm-hmm. It's about uncovering the reasons that you drank, what triggers you to drink. And so don't beat yourself up. You still finish that bad boy out and say, I did dry January.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and a lot of people will plan for certain events during dry January and say like, okay, you know, I'm actually going to moderate. I have a big wedding coming up on January 18th or something. And I'm going to moderate instead of abstain. And that's okay too, right? This is mm-hmm. just about having a better relationship. And so, yeah, I think that, and I love this AA one, is like, do the next right thing. And so yeah. if you drink today, you know, the next right thing is to not drink tomorrow. And so, yeah, of course it counts. It is what okay. It is what you make it. Why did you have a slip?
No, I didn't. I didn't. But I came so close. So what are some ways to stay accountable in dry January?
So of course, the buddy system, right? So pair up with somebody who's also doing it. I actually like what you're saying. So you're doing it for sugar. So you could pair up with somebody who's doing it for weed or for alcohol or...
Well, I've paired up with my boyfriend.
It's really, it makes it more fun. And I think like you get that support that you need. And so it doesn't, people don't have to be doing dry January for alcohol to buddy up with them. You can join an online community. We have a Substack that you can join. We have tips for dry January. You can share advice there. There's a ton of sobriety-focused social media groups. There's apps that you can use that can give you that sense of community and accountability. And then, like you said, there's the I Am Sober tracking app. Or you can just journal, and the journal can be your silent buddy and just logging your alcohol-free days and reflecting on your progress.
Are people able to go on our Substack and like when they've reached the end of dry January, are they able to kind of post and share so we can celebrate them?
Yes, you can share. So we have a dry January tips and tricks, and you can share in the comment section with each other and say like, this worked, this didn't work. I'm so proud of myself, and we'll be so proud of you too. And we will comment back.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to see that. I'd love to be able to go on and celebrate with some of you to reach the end of that journey. Yeah.
Okay. So speaking of that, how can you reflect on your dry January experience once the month is done?
I think looking back at your goals. So what were your initial reasons for starting dry January? How do you feel now? So really reflecting now. In my practice, I often will say to people at the start, like, how do you, let's say if I was going to do dry January with a client, I'd say on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you feel physically right now? And have them rate that, like 1 being not so good, 10 being good. And then at the end of the challenge, have them rate it. So that way you can really see a tangible difference. So I think looking back at your goals, I think celebrating those wins, and even if it's like writing in the Substack so we can help you celebrate, that is a really great way to reflect. Identify those like specific physical changes, emotional shifts, any cognitive clarity, like those specifics about how you feel now, even reflecting on what triggered you. So for example, at the end of my challenge, I'm going to be like, wow, I didn't realize I'm triggered by things I need to celebrate also. So, being able to reflect on those triggers, and then really reflecting on what your relationship with alcohol is. Like, I think that month break really gives you an amazing time and opportunity to reflect on what that relationship was. And then lastly, celebrate yourself, practice gratitude, reflect on the effort, commitment, and intention that had to go in to that experience. I think for sure those are great ways to reflect.
Yeah.
So how do you decide what to do after dry January ends? And what are the signs that someone might want to continue in their journey?
Yeah, I think, start with your why, right? Did you reach the goals? Are you curious about what longer term sobriety could feel like? Also assess the benefits. So think about the positive changes you experienced. Did you have better sleep, improved mood, more energy? Were your relationships better? And which of those are important to you moving forward? And so, that can either lead to you moderating or having more alcohol-free days or cutting it out altogether. And I think also and this is what I did without knowing it, is tune into your feelings, right? So how do you feel about reintroducing alcohol? Does it feel natural? Does it make you anxious or hesitant? When I think about like, couldn't I just have one drink? I get anxiety, right? It doesn't feel good. And then when you look back, what was hard about dry January? And how did you manage those things? And do you want to keep working on them? So if you feel like you have some momentum going, then you might want to keep it going. And so I think that there are so many ways, but you really have to kind of tune in to yourself and say to yourself, like, how did that feel? Do I want to keep this feeling going? Was it hard? Why was it hard? If it was that hard, should I keep working on it?
Mm-hmm.
And so given that, how do you think that Dry January can inspire other areas of personal growth?
So one of the things I talk to clients about who are in a period in their life where they're maybe lacking motivation, for example, or lacking self-discipline, I'll say, keep one small promise to yourself every day. It could be like literally drinking a glass of water first thing in the morning. And then after a few weeks, it feels really good to maintain that practice. And I think the same is true for Dry January. It really can help build discipline and self-control. It can help you navigate those cravings or social pressures. For example, if you can say, oh, if I can go a month without alcohol, maybe I can commit to a daily meditation practice, for example. So I think it really can just prove to yourself that you can do hard things. I think it strengthens emotional resilience. So you are able to learn how to handle emotions without alcohol. Instead of avoiding uncomfortable feelings, you can explore them. So if you've gotten through the month of Dry January, how did you sit with discomfort, or how did you relax, for example? I think that it can also lead people to want to improve their physical health in different ways. So now I feel so healthy from not drinking. Maybe I'm going to start like prepping my lunches every day, or to build on the, or having more protein, like protein shakes. So really build on that. It also can enhance your self-awareness. We just talked a lot about being aware of those triggers, or being aware of like, okay, I have to plan for this. That's all self-awareness. And so, for example, you could say, well, wow, I realized I over-rely on my phone, for example, for downtime. Like when I didn't have drinking, I just immediately went to my phone. So maybe looking at some of those practices. So I think it can be the catalyst for a lot of deeper change.
Yeah, I think so too. When I look back to when I was drinking, there were so many things like I would have never considered working out. I would have never considered eating healthier when I was drinking, because you're doing something that's in opposition to that when you're drinking. Mm-hmm. And so I would get to the point where I would say to myself, what's the point? What's the point of working out if I'm just going to have like a bottle of wine after? So. Right. Yeah, I totally agree that it is a good springboard for other changes.
I think we covered Dry January like quite thoroughly today. There's so many exciting things that can come out of Dry January, and one day at a time, not to sound like the cliche, but really take it one day at a time. Okay, Sonia, what resonated with you the most about today's episode?
So make one promise to yourself a day and keep it. And that's such a great way to not get overwhelmed and also make positive changes. And I'm going to use that. I always talk about, you know, specific realistic goals, but I don't know if I always do that. And I'm going to start setting more realistic goals and keep one promise to myself every day. What about you? What resonated with you today?
I really focused on this question because you called me out on it, about did I have sugar? Did I slip? And I really came close to slipping. And yeah. I think that part of me was feeling if I slipped, it would be over and I'd be a failure. I still have that thinking, even after years of sobriety, right? Like years of sobriety. But sugar is a thing for me. And I even had those feelings creep up. So I think that just reminding myself that it's progress, not perfection. And I have made progress on it and I'm not perfect, but that really resonated for me.
Yeah, it's so true.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us. And thank you for listening to Sisters in Sobriety. And we will see you next week.
This was Sisters in Sobriety.
Thank you for listening and being with us today.
If you want to learn more about sobriety and meet your community, find us at sistersinsobriety.substack.com.
Are you a sister in sobriety? Then reach out on social media. We'd love to hear from you.
If you're feeling generous, leave us 5 stars and a review and follow us wherever you listen.
You'll never miss an episode. Until next time.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.